It's been a great, great blessing to be here today. remember the other day when I was saying, like, anyway, if it's for one person, we have to do it for thousands? The same thing. It doesn't matter. Amen? So anyway, we know that there's people out there that the weather is really understandable, that it's not the best right now. And it's better you guys keep safer in your houses and homes and stay over there and be safe. God bless you guys, that you are connected, that you have some time to do this. And also, thanks God, the new technology, right? That we have internet nowadays. Imagine those back days that people don't have anything like internet or anything like that. But they have a Bible. They can anyway worship God and service God through their homes and houses over there. But now we have internet and we can watch people all over the place and even Europe and everywhere. It's crazy. So praise God for that. Okay. Also, I want to thank the church that is being able to make it today. Thank you guys for doing that sacrifice. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for the help and support out there, cleaning a little bit of snow also. It's a lot. But praise God for that. Okay, let's start. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. We worship you and we praise you. Thank you for the time, the opportunity. Thank you for all the things that you're doing in our life. Thank you for allowing us to breathe, allowing us to have the hands, eyes, ears, legs, everything that you are allowing us to have so we can continue worshiping and praising you. Also, thank you for the spirit that you are giving to us. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the provision, protection, and favor and grace that you are giving to us so we can continue ministering the people that you're putting in our life so that way we can reflect you through us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you, Father God, to please speak you to the church, not me. We are just going to share what you are putting in our hearts, that what we believe that you want us to learn and continue growing in you and praising you and worshiping you and praying that you are going to transform the hearts of the people. Father God, we thank you for this time. Be you speaking in the name of Jesus Christ. Remove me. Remove my mentality, my knowledge, or anything that I have. Remove it and be you speaking. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. So today, I just want to start something really interesting that God put in my heart, and he keeps talking to me in the past week. Oh, before that, Chris, thank you. Appreciate the help and support last Sunday. Thank you for that. Praise God that you are allowing God to use you to speak his word to the church. So thank you for that. Appreciate it. Always is good. So God is putting me in my heart some type of information and scriptures that I hope is going to bless us. I hope it's going to continue allowing us to grow in his presence, in his knowledge and his wisdom and everything, name it, you know, to God. And I want to start with a story that I read about a small kid that he was really wealthy. He had a lot of things, you know, more than enough that he needs. His family is really wealthy. And he went to the park, and then he had this experience with another kid that he saw. The kid, he was just not wearing the clothes that he was maybe expecting, or he was not maybe expecting that kid the way that he was expecting it. He, as a kid, because he have everything that he have, he was experiencing this kid without maybe the clothing that he have, or the experience that he have, or the wealthy that he has. And when he was going to the park, the kid was there, the other kid. And when he saw the kid, he told his mom, I said, I don't want to play over there because that kid is over there. And then, what do you mean? They said, well, that kid is poor. I don't want to play with that kid. And his mom told him, well, His name was Sebastian, the story that I was reading. Sebastian, what do you mean? You know, with those words that you are saying right now, you are showing me that you are more poor than that kid. Because the external and material things that you have, it doesn't make you wealth or wealthy or rich. So what do you mean? And then what his mom did in that moment, it was bringing that kid to his house so he can experience more things with that kid that he was poor. And then they start seeing that this kid, the poor kid, it was really gentle, educated, love, patient. He starts showing some things that opened the eyes of Sebastian. And then Sebastian was maybe missing those things or lacking in those areas. And then when they went to the poor kid grandparents, he was taking care of him, they noticed that it was just a home without food. They don't have maybe clothing. They don't have heat in their house. So they start helping them to put them in a state that they can live more properly. And that was a lesson learned from Sebastian, because then his mom teach him, anyway, you don't have these material things or all these things that people say that make you rich externally, you can be rich internally. With the education that the poor kid was showing, with the all the behaviors and all the reaction that this poor kid was showing, he was showing that he was rich internally. He was more wealthy than Sebastian. Anyway, externally, Sebastian was showing it like he was more rich or more wealthy. But it doesn't matter, because as we know, those things externally are material. They're just temporary. They're just going to fade out at some point in our life. And everything is going to start changing and shifting to understanding that what it matters is inside of us, not outside. And this story opened my eyes to learn more about what God is bringing into our life through the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes internally we are thinking that we are rich and wealthy with things that happened in our life in the past. And that we are so attached to those things that we take them as something really valuable. And that's fine. Because there's things in our life, in our past, or something that we have in our memory or experiences that we have in our life that it make us wealthy, rich, internally. And in order to understand more of this, I want to start for going through the scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Pay attention to two things over here. Number one, may your whole spirit, soul, and body. So Paul is talking about three things over here. Just keeping that perspective that he's talking about the soul, the spirit, and the body. And then the next statement, he say, kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we make that happen? Right? It's kind of a little bit difficult with all the things that we are experiencing in our life, materialism and all the stuff that we experience. And sometimes we feel like, I don't know if I can make it. Because he's not just saying the spirit, he's saying the spirit, soul, and body. Blameless. So Paul, and we believe that the whole Bible is being inspired by God. So God allow us to read this scripture and says, keep in mind that you have three things in you, the body, the soul, and the spirit, and we need to keep them blameless. Tough, but we can make it happen. Ecclesiastes 12:7, and the dust returns to the ground it came from. And the spirit returns to God who gave it. So we have the spirit, and the spirit is going back to God who gave it according to that scripture. So what we're doing over here, how we can keep this blameless, how we can make sure our body, our soul, and also our spirit can be blameless. God, according to scripture, breath inside of us, and that spirit that we have inside of us is the one that is going back to him because he gave it. It's not ours. That's the spirit that we have. And that one is going back to him, and what we're trying to save over here in our daily life is our soul. The body is going back to the dust. This thing. It's going to fade out. It's going to be dust. It's going back to the ground. It doesn't matter. So I think we say, okay, I'm going to keep my body blameless. That's fine. It's going to dust anyway. So I'm going to do my best to keep that body blameless. Now, the spirit is going back to God. He gave it. We're going to do our best to continue keeping blameless. And then the soul is the thing that we're fighting here right now, to try to save it and get that soul back in place, because right now the enemy of our soul, and also not just the enemy of our soul, which is Satan, also our flesh, is going to fight against our spirit to try to win over the spirit. So that means it can use the soul and manipulate everything, so that way we can be in condemnation, and then our soul can be also in condemnation. So that's the fight that we have between our flesh, our soul, and our spirit. There was a man that was stating, and I like the way of the, he expressed that. And he said that the spiritual life, the soul specifically, will, intellect, and emotion are inside of that soul. So in other words, the soul have the will, intellect, and emotions. That's how we are reacting and facing those things. But also the spirit, he have the conscience, intuition, and communion. And that's why we believe that the Holy Spirit, he dwells inside of that spirit, the spirit that you and I have. And that spirit is born again through you and through me. What does this mean? It means that our spirit is over here right now fighting to gain the whole body and flesh, and also the soul, to win over, so that way we can attract that soul back to God and bring the soul to God and save it. So the point here is that we need to make sure and understand that our spirit is getting to the place that we need to get. Because the world, with all the things and experiences and emotions and all the materialism, sometimes is bringing us captive, and is bringing us to that place and position that the soul with the flesh is taking over the spirit, when the spirit has to take over everything. And if we put the spirit in a place where the Holy Spirit can dominate everything in our life, I think that's what God wants us to make in our life. To let the Holy Spirit gain the whole control of our life, of our soul, spirit, flesh, body, everything. So that way he can manifest accordingly to the will of God. Now, to start looking at the importance of the human spirit that you and I, we have, let's go to Zechariah 12:1. Zechariah 12:1, when we read this scripture with the prophet, I hope this is open our eyes to understand a little bit more. I was also missing some things over here. And when I read this, open my eyes to understand more the spirit that we have right now. Zechariah 12:1, it says, a prophecy, the word of the Lord concerning Israel. The Lord who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundation of the earth, and who forms the human spirit within a person, declares. So first point, number one thing that I want to share with you guys is that God is the one that forms the human spirit. the one that you and I have, according to this scripture. So that spirit is being formed by him. He created. That's why the scripture says in Ecclesiastes that the spirit is going back to God because he gave it. It's his spirit, not ours, not anyone else. Now, when we go to Job 32:8, it says, but it is the spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty, that gives them understanding, the knowledge, the understanding. That's why this guy is based on this scripture, saying that the spirit of the human being that you and I we have is based on the conscience, intuition, and communion. The intuition is the knowledge. Is that how we can understand things spiritually? This is my feedback, and we can use the scripture. It's not just only my feedback, because we can see the story when Elijah, he was sharing with his servants and say, God, open his eyes so he can see all the chariots, you know, the horses that is in our favor, but he was talking spiritually. He cannot see with his bare eyes. The same thing with Jesus Christ was talking with Pilate, and he was saying, huh, if I tell my people, my command, you know, all the angels to come over here right now, they will show up and they will, you know, do all that in defense of Jesus Christ. They will be over there and manifest. So, in other words, the spiritual environment is happening. It's real. And that's what we like to present to you guys today, that the Holy Spirit and the spiritual environment is real. And I am one of those that also sometimes get entangled in this life and the whole materialism and everything. And we just need to be careful, because we need to understand and give the priority always to the spiritual environment. There's a spiritual things right now happening right now, and we cannot maybe see it with our bare eyes, but it's happening right now. It's just that we are not seeing it. Maybe if we can say, hey, God, open our eyes, poof, and then we can start seeing things that is spiritual, if he will. If he liked to do that, it will be amazing. I don't know for you guys, but for me, I will love it. So that way that can open our eyes and we can see and understand really what is happening in the real world, real life, which is the spiritual environment. Not this flesh thing that we're seeing right now. It's nice to see you guys, but I want to see also the spiritual environment. It gives you excitement. It gives you the true, real thing that is happening right now around us. Now, going back to this story, when Jesus Christ starts sharing this, and also Elijah, is opening our eyes and saying, there's a spiritual environment. You have a human spirit. So why sometimes we are letting the flesh and letting all the things getting over us and controlling our life, when we already know and understand that God is telling us the real thing, it is the spiritual. Feed the spirit. Prioritize the spirit, not the flesh, not the emotion things. Use the spirit in your favor to gain the knowledge that God already provides through that spirit. Again, the scripture, Job 32:8. But it is the spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty, that gives them understanding. And James says the same thing. If you lack of understanding, ask him. He's supposed to provide it to you and to me. Because the Spirit of God, the Spirit that you have in you, that it has been provided by him, is the one that is giving you the connection and communion between you and God. But something that at least I experienced in my life that I want to share with you guys just based on my experience, it is the lack of not letting the Holy Spirit to control our life. Not letting the Holy Spirit to control our spirit. And we are just letting the soul and the flesh control in our life. When we let the Holy Spirit to control our spirit, that's another story. To praise God. To worship him. Another story that is going to be great and amazing for you. Sometimes we're asking God, we are in praise, and we say, God, please, fill me with the Holy Spirit, or God, show me this, show me that, talk to me. And sometimes we just need to talk to our spirit and say, hey, spirit, you need to receive this from God. Start humble yourself and see God manifested in your life. Proverbs 20:27, it says, the human spirit, this is amazing. The human spirit is the lamp of the Lord that sheds light on one's inmost being. Wait a second. This scripture is saying that your human spirit, my human spirit, is the lamp of the Lord that sheds light on one's inmost being. So your human spirit, my spirit, is the one that is providing that light inside of us. The light from God. But I like the reference that, or the analogy, if I can call it analogy, that Solomon used over here, and he say, is the lamp. Because a lamp, it needs oil, it needs fuel to start on. The human spirit can be there, but if it doesn't have the lamp, the oil, you maybe have the Holy, the Spirit in you, but it's being maybe manipulated or controlled, or the soul is taking over, and now you have the spirit of the human spirit in you, like, man, the flesh and the soul is taking over all this body, all these things, all my life, instead of the spirit taking over. So in order to the spirit taking over, we need God. We need the Holy Spirit. So that way it can take over, it can control everything in our life. It's the oil. The Holy Spirit is the oil that we need for our lamp, so that way the light can shine inside of us. The other thing that I want to share is John 4:24. We know this is scripture. It says, God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit. Don't miss the capital S. Worship in the spirit and in truth. So in order to worship God, we need to go to the spirit or through the spirit. I know this is kind of a little bit difficult and uncomfortable sometimes, because we have different opinions, and I know worship is not just the music, we know that. Worship is our style of life, everything that we're doing, like every second that we're doing, walking, thinking, talking, listening to music, working, driving, taking a shower, eating, everything in our life, we are worshiping God every single second. We need to do it in the spirit. And sometimes, I'm going to leave you with this question. Do you worship God with your flesh and your soul? Because sometimes we get confused on that. And you say, well, I will worship God with everything. Yeah, it's true. But you have to start with your spirit. Because if the spirit taking over, then your soul will start worshiping God. Then your flesh will start worshiping God. But the spirit needs to take over. The spirit needs to control everything in your being, in your whole being. Otherwise, if you may be worshiping God from the soul or from the flesh, I'm sorry, but I know it sounds difficult, but it might be then manipulated by the flesh. But I'm worshiping God. Yeah, but according to scripture in John 4:24, God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and truth, and in truth. So we have to be in a spirit, body, soul, and spirit. But the spirit needs to take over. The spirit needs to govern your whole being. How we can do that? Because we're talking about here all the scripture that says that human being is being created by God, is being provided by God. God is providing the human spirit to us to have knowledge. Through the spirit, we can worship God. The human spirit is the lamp. It's giving light on us, is showing us how to do things. But we are allowing the flesh, we are allowing the body, we are allowing the soul to take over. We need to let the spirit to take over. John 3:6 says, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. after being born again, our spirit is not just merely a human spirit now. When we're born again, meaning Jesus Christ, a believer, that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But now the Holy Spirit starts showing up. And the Holy Spirit is the one that is going to support us to take over everything. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And we need to let God, through the Holy Spirit, control our soul and our body and our flesh. Everything. And that will make us the real worshipers. Romans 8, 14, 16 says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit." Here we go. It says over there, right? Romans 8, 14 through 16. "The Spirit Himself testified with our spirit that we are God's children." So He's showing two things over here. The capital S, we know that it means the Holy Spirit. Lowercase spirit, meaning human spirit, your spirit, my spirit. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit. So it's like the Holy Spirit is there with your Holy, with your spirit, and saying, "Hey, I know Jesus Christ. I was there also with Him, just so you know. And He left me here to help you. You need my help." That's the Holy Spirit, not me, not John Melendez. I can support you in the best that I can as a human being. But but the Holy Spirit is the one that we need. It's the one that is going to support us and support our spirit to take over, to take ownership of the whole being that we have. And that one is the one that I hope today, and also you people that is watching out there, can receive it and feel it and understand this, so that way you can let Him to take over your life. Because we need Him. The whole past years that we have been here, praise God, all the glory to Him, we have been talking about all these fights that we have. Flesh, circumstances, issues in the past, everything. And I think we're getting to a point that we need the manifestation of the Holy Spirit now to control everything in our life. Because now we're removing all those things out of the heart, out of the flesh, out of the things that we have in our life. Take it out, remove it, clean it. Everything is clean. Hey, Holy Spirit, come on, let's join us. Let's do this. Take over our life. We are removing all our desires from our flesh. All the things that is not from God, we are removing it, and then God is taking over our life and taking over the church and taking over the community and taking over everything, because He's a spirit. We are calling the spirit and the human spirit in connection with Him, so that way the Holy Spirit can control everything of our life. Proverbs 12:2. This one, I have to look at in ESV, just so you know. It says, "All the ways of a man are pure on his own eyes." Flesh, body, soul. For me, it's pure. It's sanctified. I'm sorry. Because sometimes we relate purity or pure as sanctification and all that stuff. I'm not talking of the sanctification of our daily life that we're going through the process, but I mean the word pure. We are going through this process in our life, and then in our own eyes, if the flesh is controlling, it is your life that, or your flesh, your body is controlling everything, the enemy of our soul using that in his favor, then our own eyes will see, this is pure, this is nice, God is here. But the next statement, it says, "The Lord waits the Spirit. And he's capital, lower capital. Your spirit, my spirit, the human spirit. That's the one that he's weighing. In other words, what is your motive? What is your intentions with the ways that you are walking? Are you doing it by the Spirit? Or are you doing it just based on your body, flesh, or desires? Because he weighs that. And he knows, and he will know for sure, if it's being manipulated by the Holy Spirit or persuaded, or if it's being manipulated by the flesh. Because he's weighing your spirit. He's saying if this is really true spiritually, or this is just your things that you, your own ways. So now that we kind of like went over all these spiritual thing and the spirit, the human spirit, understanding that God is providing all those and making sure that we understand that he's the one leading us. I want to then finally show you the title of this sermon. In Galatians 5:16-18, it says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit," capital S, "and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." I know. "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Here we go, guys. I want to present to you Matthew 5. You know the story, right? I think you already know where I'm going. Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. And I just want to focus on verse 3. But before that, we know that Jesus Christ, this is according to theologians and scholars, they say that this is the only long sermon presented in the scripture. He might be preach another ones longer, but this is the longer one because it's going from number 5 through all the way to 7. And this is the Sermon of the Mount. We know that. And you can see that he started after the 40 days, the ministry, he was getting temptation or tempted by Satan. He surpassed that. He passed that. He was fulfilled with the Holy Spirit. He had angels serving him, according to Scripture. He heals the sick. He starts seeing and manifesting something. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. And then he gets to this point in chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 1. "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciple came to him, and he began to teach them." And then he said this: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Okay, so we already talked about the human spirit. And Jesus Christ here, he now starts saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." So I want to open this kind of topic or series about the Spirit. And Jesus Christ starts expressing here, you need to be poor in the Spirit. How you can make that happen? Remember the story that I start about Sebastian and the poor kid. How you can be poor in spirit? Because Jesus Christ is saying, "Blessed is the poor in spirit." We can go to Luke. Luke also 6:20 is mentioned in some of the Beatitudes, not all of them. And Luke is talking about, he mentioned just poor. But when we learn more and study these, they're not just referring to the poor people or poor person out there. They don't have anything to leave. They don't have anything to sustain their life or their family. We're going more deep. Remember, Jesus Christ, he was for the Jews, he was not the expected king. The expected king, it was a material king. A kingdom, physical thing, material stuff. A king that he have an army, physical army. But when we experience more about Jesus Christ and the compliance of the prophecy for each prophet of Jesus Christ is more spiritual. So Jesus Christ focused more to the Spirit and went to the Spirit and transformed the people. So he started sharing the Beatitudes and say, blessed are the poor in spirit. What he trying to say over here? I just want to share two things with you guys. Two different point of view of the word poor. Number one, when you're talking about the word poor in the original Greek, which is the New Testament, it's talking about a person that is lacking things to sustain or to be sustainable or to sustain his family. So he don't have food, he don't have maybe a shelter, a roof, he don't have things to survive. So the first point that Jesus Christ, maybe he's trying to say, to tell to the people over there in his sermon, he's saying, blessed are the people that they cannot sustain, they cannot provide in the Spirit what they need. Because you need someone else that he can sustain you and supply what you need. If you can supply what you need, if you can sustain what you need, why you need the Holy Spirit? If your human being spirit can sustain and supply everything that you need in your life, why you need Jesus Christ? Why you need the Holy Spirit? I'm already have everything that I need. I don't need Jesus. Don't put that in Facebook now and just cut it, that section, and say, John Melendez says, I don't need Jesus. Let me finish. This is just an example, an analogy of if my spirit can be sustainable by itself, why I need Jesus? Why I need the Holy Spirit? I need the Holy Spirit. So that's why Jesus Christ says, blessed are the poor in spirit. You need to be poor. You need to understand that you need something and someone that it can supply you what you need. And those that can get to that level, they're blessed. And that's the first word that I want to share with you guys today, bless. I want to split this scripture in just three words. Number one, bless. Number two, poor. And number three, kingdom of heaven. The first one, bless, I cannot go more far than that in the definition. Bless is a bless. It's a blessing. You're blessed. You have everything that God wants you to have according to his will. So if you are blessed, it's because you are poor in spirit. We need to understand and get to the point of being poor in spirit. The other second point inside of the word poor, it is that the poor, when you look in your past experience, I'm going to say this with careful. You have experiences in your life. And I know the first thing that it comes to my mind, Gina, is going to be like, here we go again. He's going to tell his story when he was playing baseball and he hit a home run. When I was a little kid, minor leagues, we have, I was playing minor leagues and then, praise God, I hit a home run with full bases loaded, so a grand slam. And those things that happen in our life, and this is just an example from my experience, but you have yours. And you guys have your own things, maybe in your career and your professional experiences, or maybe life, or maybe, I don't know, whatever you were guys doing. And sometimes we put that trophy in our spirit. Look what I did. I feel so proud of myself. And we are passing year through year and say, yeah, I know, the Grand Slam. Yeah, that was me. And that spirit, sometimes that spirit, you kind of like feel like wealthy. You put that trophy over there. You put that reach. It make you rich. And sometimes we need to let that go. Because sometimes we are so attached to those things and not letting the new things to be in your life. What I'm saying is that also including here at church, we have some experience in the past, deliverance, fasting, all those things. And we see the glory of God. We saw it. And maybe we're in the process right now that we might be not seeing those experiences, but we are so attached to those things that make us to feel rich, wealthy, in the spirit. And the second point that I want to share inside of the word poor, it is that Jesus Christ is saying, let that go. That's in the past. That's fine. Good. I have new things for you guys. I have new things through the Holy Spirit for you. Let those things go that make you feel wealthy, rich, and be poor. The poor definition, the other definition of poor, it means that you are surviving every single day to sustain you and your family. You know, those type of, I know how it is, being, living the check by check. You know, I get the check and everything is just gone right away because I have to pay all the bills. And then continue working, check, boom, take it. Check, take it. We know that. And really, that's one of the definitions of being poor. It's not negative. You are able to sustain you and your family. Maybe you don't have more than enough to then do other things, but you are able to sustain the family right now with that little portion and that sustainability that you have right now. So Jesus Christ is saying, in a daily basis, keep asking, begging to God for the Holy Spirit, for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Be poor in the Holy, in your spirit. So that way the Holy Spirit can continue to fulfill you with new stuff. Every single day is new stuff. Forget about what happened in the victory that happened in the past. Praise God to that. But I want the new stuff. I want the new things from God through the Holy Spirit. Because blessed are those. And it's going to be in us that we can make that decision to be poor in the Spirit and move forward towards the manifestation of God in our life, allowing being poor in the Spirit and the Holy Spirit to take over our spirit. Why? How we can apply this in our life? Philippians 3:13-14. Paul testified, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. He might be not just talking about bad stuff or negative things. He might be also, he was talking about his conversion about Jesus when he had the conversion with Jesus Christ. That's in the past. I want the new things. The new things from God that he has for me. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3:8, Paul says also, although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. So Jesus Christ is saying, be poor in the spirit, because I want to fulfill you with my riches. Spiritual things. He was talking about love, righteousness. He was talking about compassion. He was talking about all these spiritual things that we can do through Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is here to help us, to sustain us. Now, I want to leave you with these scriptures. Isaiah 57:14. Isaiah 57:14. And he will be say, build up, prepare the road. Remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. For this is what the high and exalted one says. He who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is, come on, contrite and lowly in spirit, which he means poor in spirit. It's the same definition. To revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. This is God. God is talking to the Israelites. God is talking through this scripture to our life right now and saying, I live in a high and holy place, high and holy, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit. He live over there. So now, Jesus Christ, maybe he was saying, you know what? You guys over there, the Jews, the Gentiles, the disciples, everyone who was there. A lot of different people in the mount. And he was saying, the first thing, you need to be poor in spirit to be blessed. Or blessed are those that they are in that position, in that place of being poor. Why? Because God lives in that heart, in that life, in that spirit. In the person that has the contrite and lowly spirit. If we have it like that, he lives over there. To revive the heart. To give life to the heart. To control it. To govern that heart. That's why Jesus Christ was saying, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Pay attention, because he's not saying it will be the kingdom of heaven, or they will gain or get the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For the poor spirit, the kingdom of heaven is already yours. You just have the poor of a spirit, poor spirit, and the kingdom of heaven, it will be just manifested by itself, because when you have the poor spirit, the kingdom of heaven, it will manifest by itself in your life. Isaiah 66. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things, and so they came into being? This is God, declares the Lord. These are the ones I look on with favor. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. And that's God. That's God, that's the Lord talking to our life, talking to ourself, and saying, who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word, that's the one that I look on with favor. That's the one that I want to bless. Last but not least, remember the story, the parable when Jesus Christ was talking about in Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So So today I just want to close with this. You might be have some things in the spirit that you're attached with. Then maybe they're good. Maybe they're good experience, good things that happen in your life. And that's good. That's fine. The only thing that I want to just be clear, it is make sure that we are not just taking too much or abiding too much on those things. Because God have more new stuff for you that we need to open the space for those new things. This guy sold everything he had. He sold everything he had. Everything. So became poor to be blessed, to inherit the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Today, I believe God wants you to sell everything that you have in your spirit. Sell everything. Sell everything. Because he have a price. He have the kingdom of heaven in you through the Holy Spirit, in your spirit, so that way we can be blessed by this great thing that he provides to us. Today, he just wants us to be poor in the spirit. And we ask the Holy Spirit to come. Come and govern us, sustain us, help us. Holy Spirit, fulfill the church, fulfill our hearts, our life, fulfill our spirit, and govern us. Never leave us. Bless us. Martha, Maria. I say in Spanish. Mary. Martha and Mary. Remember that story, right? I'm going to twist it a little bit over there. I know. One, it was sitting to Jesus' feet, on Jesus' feet, and receiving the revelation. The other one, it was working. I think God is already kind of like went over different things through the scripture and teach us how to clean our hearts, mind, soul, spirit, everything. Clean, purify everything, sanctify everything. And he wants us now to understand to be poor in the spirit so he can fulfill us. We have the revelation. Let's work. Let's make it happen. Let's not just stay over there. Let's move forward. Receive the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit to control your life. Let the Holy Spirit to control your spirit. And your spirit, therefore, will control the soul and your body. And be blameless for the return of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father God, thank you for this blessing. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father God. We ask you to continue blessing us with your Holy Spirit. We declare in the name of Jesus Christ that we become poor in the spirit. We give away everything. And we beg to you, Holy Spirit, fulfill us. Control our spirit. Fulfill our spirit. The human spirit that has been provided by God. And control our life. Manifest in us, through us, in this place, in our life, in everywhere. Be you, Holy Spirit, fulfilling the church, fulfilling our life, fulfilling everyone right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We send your word and declare your presence, your glory, your favor, your grace over everyone here and also all the people that is watching us online. We declare your blessings over them in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for for allowing us to learn and understand more and more about you, about the scripture, about the glory and greatness that you have for us, the riches of Christ in us. Thank you. We praise you and we worship you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.